So, in the words of the infamous artist formerly known as Prince, shouldn't we just go crazy and make everybody a BA?
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax, HIPAA help is on the way.
Hey Donna, let's talk about BAs today, business associates.
It's an exciting topic, isn't it?
I don't know that I would say it's exciting, but it's necessary. So, a BA, the first thing that I hear a lot of times about that is, how do you know? How do you know that you're a BA? It's same question that kind of comes from covered entities. They want to know, how do I know if I'm a covered entity? Well, sometimes even the covered entities are asking, how do I know who my BAs are?
Right.
So let's address that first, because if you don't know who your BAs are, then you have no idea what you need to do with them or for them.
And if you don't know you are a BA, you're in really big trouble too. So
yeah.
So a business associate, as defined under HIPAA, is any business or individual subcontractor that you hire that creates, receives, maintains, or transmits PHI on behalf of a covered entity or another business associate. So it's creating a chain of business associates, and the tail never ends, really. Another way to look at it, I saw somebody using the terms instead of create, receive, maintain, and transmit, which I call cremate, C-R-E-M-A-T. I saw somebody use terms produce, receive, save, or transfer, PHI. Those are the activities. If you do that on behalf of somebody that is a covered entity or a business associate, then you yourself are a business associate. It creates that tail, and you can have, I'm a covered entity, and then I outsource something, let's say collections. That's an easy thing to think of. So I outsource collections to a collection company. That collection company is the business associate of the covered entity. If that collection company then hires, say, an IT company to manage their networks, and that IT company to do their job is going to have administrative rights to their firewall or their servers and so on and so forth, then they are maintaining where the PHI is for the collections company. So they become a business associate of the collection company BA, and they sign an agreement between the two of them, and not directly the IT company for the collections company isn't a business associate of the covered entity. So we're immediately confused, right?
So the head of this particular episode that we're discussing here is the covered entity is at the top. They have a BA, and then up under that is another BA. So the initial first BA has to answer to the covered entity, but the second BA answers to the first BA.
Correct.
See, I got it.
So it can keep going as you go along. If the, let's say the IT company, one of the services they offer is a cloud backup, and they sell that to the business associate. Now the company that's doing the cloud backup service for the IT company becomes a business associate of the IT company.
And it just keeps going.
Exactly. So everybody has to be a business associate. And under the most recent rules that are published, they made it clear, because people would say, I'm not a business associate, I'm not signing the agreement. And it clearly states in the guidance released in 2013 that it does not make you a business associate simply by signing an agreement or a contract. It makes you a business associate by the activities you perform. So whether you sign an agreement with somebody or not, or you acknowledge whether you're a business associate, they can decide that you are, and all the rules apply to you. So just deciding that you're not going to follow HIPAA, because it is a hassle, I'm not saying it's not, but it is the law. And if you decide that, you know, I can't drive 55 and you're going to drive 75, that's fine. But know that at any time they can pull you over.
So we have downstream and upstream BAs. So that's kind of what we're just talking about. And so if I'm a BA, so I have an IT company, and you know, you kind of put IT companies in the mix. Whose right is it to make sure the BAs are doing their due diligence? In other words, how far down do I go? Do I have to make sure that each person under me does their due diligence and does everything they're supposed to do, or am I only supposed to do one level deep? And what about up? Do I have to, you know, if I've got a covered entity as a client, that do I have to make sure they're doing HIPAA compliance? How does that work?
Well, the law says that you should have reasonable assurances from your business associates that they are following the law. Reasonable assurance could be just simply having them sign the contract. And the contract we keep talking about is called the Business Associate Agreement, the BAA. And that agreement defines the relationship and the responsibilities between the two parties. And a lot of people are just using these template agreements and they don't even know what's in them. And when you ask them, they're unclear. To have a business associate agreement between a covered entity and a business associate, and then you have a different kind of agreement between a business associate and their downstream one, and then it keeps going, but you could have an agreement between you and an upstream BA that you want to initiate. So all of those agreements are in play, but the fact that for 10 years, people signed them and never really worried about what was in them, and they'll continue to do that. Oh, I need this for your business. Well, in that case, you're not really getting a reasonable assurance, in my humble opinion, and the opinion of others, especially when you, in some cases, you're kind of sure when you just talk to them that they are doing nothing for HIPAA. So we recommend doing a due diligence, a questionnaire that's a simple, straightforward series of questions to see what is your HIPAA program. You say you have one, but I want to know a few more details about it. And it's things like, do you have a training program, and what does that training program entail? Well, those are things that you're supposed to have anyway, so we just ask you about them.
So what is a BA supposed to do when they have to follow HIPAA? Because following HIPAA for a BA is something that's fairly new. Is that right?
Right. I mean, yes. As far as the most BAs are concerned, you know, they always had to sign these business associate agreement, but there was nothing really pending on it unless the CE wanted to use the agreement in some way. OCR never dealt directly with the BAs, but today they can under the new rules. So the business associate, it was interesting that the head of OCR, when asked is there any guidance about business associates coming out soon? And they say, yes, we know we need to offer it, because there's really not a lot, because it's fairly new. But their answer was the BA should be doing what the CEs are doing. Okay, well, that's helpful. But
if the CEs were doing
it. Right. Yeah, but at the same time, it clearly states, well, if the business associate isn't, you know, the business associate doesn't do a notice of privacy practices, the NPP, well, that's the responsibility of the covered entity, because they're the one that initiates the care with the patient. The business associate clearly doesn't have to do all of the things that a covered entity does, but the best way to look at it is to know, number one, it's not exactly the same as a covered entity, but number two, it's more than just the security rule, which is what most people think it entails. There's more to HIPAA for a business associate than the simple security rule that people have turned into a checklist, and now they think they're HIPAA compliant because I follow the security rule. HIPAA security rule does fully apply to the business associate, but also the portions of the privacy rule that relate to the business associate agreement also are required, and a training program that covers things like the privacy rules, minimum uses, and disclosures have to be part of your program. So it's way more than just, oh, I ran some security penetration test and vulnerability test, and we're good to go because our IT is covered. No. That's not enough. That's not what you're required to do. It's a big part of it. Don't get me wrong, but it doesn't end there.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot that a BA still has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now you mentioned the BA, the business associates, having to do due diligence? And is there any guidance on how that works? I mean, what exactly is quote-unquote due diligence? There's got to be something that would give me an indication. Do I just call them and say, hey, do you do HIPAA compliance? Or do you understand what it is?
Yeah.
Do you even know what the acronym means? If you if you say yes, if you can spell it right, then you're good to go.
We know there are a lot of people that cannot spell it right, but they tell you they know it. So,
they're HIPAA experts, yeah. And they can't spell it.
And I'll give you a typo from time to time. It happens, but when it's misspelled all over the sales brochure, I got an issue. The BA due diligence, well, due diligence is, you know, basically the legal term that you'll hear anywhere of, you know, if you're buying a company, you would go through a due diligence process. And the concept is the same, is I'm going to ask you about your business practices in order to do business with you. And that is the due diligence. You're looking at what are their business practices as it relates to their obligations as a business associate. And that's where there's no real guidance on it at all. It just says get reasonable assurances. And some people believe the contract's enough. But if you go to most BAs and one of the first questions we'll ask them is, okay, what's your strictest business associate agreement? Which one has the most strict requirements? Because that's what your policies have to follow, because you can't like pick and choose. Okay, well, we're following this policy today because it works better for us, and that one tomorrow. You have to identify what your most strict environment is, and that's what you have to do. And they don't know. So when you get a contract signed and they're not even clear what they're signing and all those different contracts, that tells me that you can't just assume the contract's enough. So that's why you do some amount of questioning. We created a 28-question list, and there's many times that people get to like the third or fourth question, and they're like, okay, clearly we're not doing what you're expecting. We actually had a software company that said they had this HIPAA solution, so we're always looking for them, so we send them, we vet them so we can know whether or not to tell people about them. And we send them that, and the guy sends back after the third or fourth question. He says, clearly we're not taking HIPAA as seriously as you do.
Now you know.
Okay, we're moving on. You know, and the first question we ask is, do you understand that you are subject to the enforcement activities, you know, where you're subject to HIPAA compliance? And they say no. And right away, you're, wait, okay. You say no, and then the next question is, who's your security officer? And they fill
and
it
you
in.
You got one, and you have a security officer.
Yeah.
I shall not admit my wrong.
Yeah.
I did not do anything.
You know, and they just stop answering it. And we have some people that we had one response that was, we use this credit agency that is PCI compliant. I see no reason we should answer this questionnaire.
Okay.
And they get loads. It was a collections company. I'm like, you're getting tons of PHI. You're storing it. You know you are.
One compliance doesn't carry to another.
Yeah. That's very important to note. Good point.
Yeah, and probably another thing to note, even though it's maybe not the episode for it necessarily, but just to note it, one person's or company's compliance does not make you compliant either.
No. Mm-hmm.
A good example would be if your EMR or EHR company is compliant, that doesn't make you compliant just because you use their product.
Oh, yeah. That's a big, big misconception for covered entities especially, is, you know, to actually identify who your business associates are. And you say, well, and we've had people tell us, well, we use a cloud EHR, EMR, so we don't need to do anything else for HIPAA. They take care of it for us. And that is a big red flag all over the place for you. Because
right,
just using that, even the meaningful use funding in stage one and stage two, and when stage three comes out, I'm sure it's going to get even more strict on what they want you to do, but a core element that everyone is supposed to do in their attestation to get their funding is to do the security risk analysis and risk management that's required under HIPAA. So you can't say that, okay, well, we're using this app, so that makes us compliant because you just said you did this other thing. So it's often really a challenge to get them to understand A does not equal B.
Mm-hmm. And for IT professionals, what I see a lot of is particularly they're using a HIPAA-compliant like backup solution. So they say, well, I'm using a HIPAA-compliant backup solution, therefore I'm HIPAA-compliant because I'm offering it to a covered entity. And they just completely forget that they, too, have to be HIPAA-compliant, regardless of the fact that the person that's storing the information might be compliant and their client might be compliant, but they're in the middle. So they become that maintain aspect or the transfer aspect that we talked about earlier of the BA.
Yeah, it's a big problem to get a lot of, especially the smaller IT companies, to understand they have to do HIPAA themselves. It's not just a service they sell to people. They have to have their own HIPAA compliance program. And for them to often believe that if I sell it to everybody else, I don't have to worry about it myself, that's totally irresponsible. And just like the class that you went through, when we teach IT companies on doing HIPAA compliance, we teach how to do your own program and then how to help your clients properly. So we're doing both sides, and IT is one of the few entities that really gets caught in the middle of everything. So they're caught in between business associates and covered entities. They're caught in between two business associates and even sometimes other IT companies that they're having to work with. So it's very complicated for them, and a lackadaisical attitude is really counterproductive to securing the privacy and doing the privacy and security of patient health information. They just think of it as zeros and ones, and it could be somebody's life.
Right. Yes, it's extremely important. And how do you find out who your BAs are? We mentioned that kind of earlier on in the episode about knowing who they are and how important that is. So in what way would a covered entity or business associate be able to figure that out?
Yeah, because if you're a business associate, you have to figure out if you have them. You can't just say, okay, I signed the agreement and I'm done. You've got to make sure you do the same thing as a covered entity in assessing whether you have a business associate or not. Mm-hmm. So one thing, a lot of people say, well, here's who our EHR vendor is, and here is who our IT company is, and we're done, and that is absolutely wrong. So one of the things we recommend people do is – you pull your 1099s and look at everyone you've paid. Every company you paid to do something should be evaluated on whether or not they're a business associate. And then you determine exactly the contract, and you make sure you have the contracts and they're current, and you do your due diligence on those individual companies. And that is one of the best ways to make sure you don't miss anything, because a lot of people just say, oh, well, I got two. Most cases, people that we deal with, a covered entity, a smaller covered entity, is still going to have like five or six. And the bigger they go, the more they're going to have. And then business associates, almost always, either they are going to have outsourced IT, which is the same thing that a covered entity often does, a smaller one. They have outsourced IT. They use somebody for, data collection or some sort of thing. So even your subcontractors have to sign a business associate agreement. And a lot of times people get lost in the woods of, they don't really do that much for us. And often IT companies will say, I don't touch the PHI, so I am not a business associate. How many times have you heard that, David?
All the time.
Yet when you ask them, do you have complete control of the firewall and the servers and all of the workstations that are accessing the PHI, then, well, of course I do. Well, then now how can you not be, because you're maintaining their PHI and network? That makes you by itself part of a business associate with any covered entity or other business associate, simply because it's a persistent nature of access to PHI. Whether you right. use it or not is irrelevant. The point is you're not supposed to. But if you mm-hmm. hire somebody that for whatever reason they decide they're going to use their connection to Dr. Smith to look up what their mother-in-law has, it's a that in itself is a violation and a breach under HIPAA rules.
I know within my IT company, I have at least half a dozen business associates that are downstream.
Right.
So, you know, I know that, and I'm a smaller typical, I call it, IT company. So I would assume that most other typical IT companies are going to have the same thing. You're going to have, you know, half a dozen or more. You know, if you're selling four different backup solutions, there's four DAs right there, possibly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can get out of hand quick. And so being able to manage that is, you know, brings on a whole nother level of complications as well.
Well, and making sure that you control your contracts, because are we going to use yours, mine, or ours? Or, you know, or am I going to sign your business associate agreement? You're going to sign mine, or are we going to make a new one? That, you know, becomes a very time-consuming task. And often it's the bigger companies control what it is that you're going to sign. And everybody says, nope, you're always going to sign mine. You need to know what's in them, because some of them use some very broad language. Like, you're responsible for the privacy rule as it applies to me. Okay, well, that changes a lot of things in your HIPAA compliance program.
Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned earlier, you have to, as far as the BA goes anyway, you have to be the same across the board as your strictest business associate agreement.
Right. And the covered entities need to be aware of what they're having people sign. Because if you're having them sign that they're doing these things, yet you are aware that they're not, and you're aware that they're not compliant, then you have specific obligations. Sure, because under the new rules, they are responsible, separate and equally responsible, but you're being irresponsible if you're using a vendor that you know is not compliant. And the original rules, and it goes back and forth, I've seen different guidance discuss this, but the original rules said if you have someone that refuses to do the work, you are supposed to first try to cure the problem, get them to do it, and if they're not, then you're supposed to find somebody else, and if there is no other person that performs this task that you can possibly hire, then you're supposed to tell HHS, look, I have to use them, but they're not being compliant, and I just need you to know that up front. I'm covering myself.
So in the words of the infamous artist formerly known as Prince, shouldn't we just go crazy and make everybody a BA? That way we know we got everybody?
No. That is the wrong thing to do, because then you've got people signing BA agreements that are putting themselves in the position where they have to do HIPAA compliance, and they don't need to.
Exactly.
And they ignore it. So now you're managing a contract that no one's paying attention to, and it's going to be something that you would have to audit and keep up with, and now you've got a legal binding contract. And anybody that's signing it on the other end and they have no intention of doing it, well, you know, there's a lot of legal issues with that. Plus, it's a management nightmare. So you don't want to have everybody be a BA.
Give a couple of examples of who probably would not be a BA.
You know, you don't need a BA with your pest control company. Your pest control company doesn't come when no one's there. And you have other cases of safeguards that will prevent anything from really being there for them as they're going around spraying things. So anything they see is considered incidental, and they wouldn't actually be able to use it or maintain it or take it with them necessarily. If you had a case, you know, there's always a chance you would want to document it. If, say, the bug guy runs into his neighbor in your office, okay, that could happen. Then you have an issue and you need to document it. However, you wouldn't be under requirements to have the pest control company on a BAA. Same thing with the janitorial service, although that one really bothers me because often they're in after hours and you can't keep up with what they're doing. But yeah. They see it as the safeguards that you have in place should have all your PHI put away. So even if they're there after hours, it wouldn't be a problem.
But there has been cases where people have used the after hours cleaning service as a way to gain access to systems.
Yes.
And so yeah. Be aware of that.
Yeah. That's a problem, and it's certainly something that you want to – there's cases where people – they don't need to have a BAA agreement. They don't need to make them a BA. Their relationship doesn't necessarily require it under HIPAA, but you may want them to sign a confidentiality agreement that legally obligates them to make sure that they don't have people that are criminals.
Yeah.
And that they're anything see is incidental and should never be shared or collected.
Right. Yeah. So it can get complicated.
Indeed. So,
wow.
Yeah. And
crazy.
Yeah. Often we have to reel in the BAA agreements and then we have to push them out because, you know, and you have BAs who, you know, clearly they are one and they'll insist that they're not, or that they are following the rules adequately. And we have many cases where both CEs and BAs have had to fire vendors that they had used for a long time because the vendor refused to do the HIPAA compliance work.
Well, you bring up a good point there, because I have had a couple of covered entities ask me that, you know, they're not in our geographic area. They'll say, well, what if I can't find, you know, an IT company that is HIPAA compliant? And there's none around here. Well, you know, what are my options? What am I supposed to do? And there are a few exceptions to that rule. You want to talk about those briefly?
Well, they have the three options. They need to work with the IT company that they've used and try to get them to be HIPAA compliant. Tell them to become a member of HIPAA for MSPs.com and figure it out themselves so that they can be the only local HIPAA compliant IT company. Cheer them on. Get them to be that. And we, you know, there are several cases where, our clients have basically pushed their IT company to become HIPAA compliant because they like working with them. So that's the number one thing I would do, is tell them, I need you to do this, and if you do, I'll tell all my friends because we all need one and there's none in the area. That's the number one thing I would do in that case. If you're in an area where there's companies but they don't want to be HIPAA compliant, find the one that's willing to take all of the medical practices and all of the business associates that work with them as their clients, because that's what they need. So I think that covers a lot of it. And one of the links that we put on the website is AWEDI, which is the work group for electronic data interchange. And they do a lot of stuff. It's really nerdy, geeky stuff where they help set policy and file. It's neat. It's nerdy. But one of the things that they had is they did a presentation on it, on business associates, and a deep dive into how high tech changed the landscape for business associates. And a key piece of that was a decision tree to determine if somebody is a business associate or not. And it's a very simple, you know, you start here. Does the business do X, Y, and Z, yes or no? And you just keep moving through the list to determine if they're a business associate. It's quite handy, and we have it out there under the links, very first link.
Okay, very good. Any other resources?
Well, of course, links to us, but the link to the decision tree document is separate from the presentation, but you can pull the slide deck from the presentation as well as there.
All right, so everybody who has heard this knows that they have a lot of homework to do.
Indeed. Go out, go forth, and prosper, my friends.
So find out who your business associates are. Start getting busy with doing the work of getting in touch with those people and putting a fire under them. And if you are a business associate, then get your stuff together and use that as a marketing tool as well. I mean, go to your covered entities and other business associates and let them know what you're doing. What I have found is that the clients are really embracing the fact that you take that seriously and that you're doing everything you can to help them abide by HIPAA compliance and do what they have to do anyway.
Yeah, we work with some companies that they're visionary enough to see with all the everything that's changing and the data breaches and, you know, the amount of information that is stored for healthcare. They see that having a very strong HIPAA compliance program and even going beyond the requirements of HIPAA in some cases it gives them a competitive edge that may not be as important right now, but as time changes, it will be a major competitive edge.
Right. I see the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's already changing dramatically from what we see. So, and it's just getting ramped up, and I think in the next 12 to 18 months, it's going to be a major change.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But who knows? A lot of that has to do with the OCR and their audit program, and that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah. When they ever roll it out.
Rolling.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.